All right, welcome back to the this edition of Social Work is More Than Therapy. I'm joined by a licensed clinical social worker out of California, Leticia Vaca. We connected a few weeks ago. You know, she is former hospital social worker, I believe, and now she's out doing bigger and better things. You know, taking her clinical experience and putting it into other realms that are not therapy. So, you want to go ahead and give yourself a better introduction than I did?
Yeah, no worries. So I'm Leticia Vaca, based out of Oakland, California. I am a therapist and I do have a therapy practice, but I'm really excited to share what I'm doing outside of therapy, which is Urban Health Group, helping Black, Indigenous people of color plan for medical emergencies. So using my hospital experience and providing preventative supports and outreach and advocacy and information in your natural settings before there's a crisis, and making sure that folks that look like us have access to really good information and highly trained professionals.
Okay, nice, nice. So how did you kind of get into that space?
Yeah, it's really personal. So I have a lot of family members who have had some health issues, starting with both of my grandmothers. Both of my grandmothers passed very prematurely. My dad's mom passed at 54 from diabetes-related complications. My mom's mom passed at 64, diabetes-related complications. And just having a lot of different family members die from some chronic conditions that I'm learning now are very manageable and treatable diseases. And witnessing their experience in working with doctors and feeling like we weren't treated the best, weren't treated appropriately, and wanting to be the change. So I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. I knew I didn't want to be a lawyer, and learned about how there's social workers in the hospital. I don't recall my family ever working with one. And it was always between, my mom was the go-to person, the spokesperson. So it was really just like my mom going against the doctors. And I'm like, I don't want that experience for anyone else. And wanting to advocate for people in their worst times of their life when they're needing, you know, medical attention, and feeling like there's somebody who'll listen to you, who'll actually care. So I've had an opportunity to work in hospitals and be that advocate and be that broker between families and in the healthcare system. And just saw that there's so much more that we could do outside of the hospital. So I didn't see it. I didn't see that it already existed. You know, I was looking for resources like nonprofits of who does this work, and it really doesn't exist unless you're like terminally ill and about to die. And I wanted to support folks before it got to that point. So I created Urban Health Group to have these difficult conversations and to help people plan and explore their options for care. So it really started with my own family.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And you make a good point. I know I have family members that had a lot of medical problems, and I don't know if it was because I was too young and wasn't paying attention, or there just wasn't, you know, access to one. But I never remember seeing a social worker. You know, like my only recollection of a social worker was the CPS worker that my mom and dad worked with, you know, which technically they're not all social workers. So,
right. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, social workers don't always have the best rep in the community for Black folks that, you know, have been used to like get folks in trouble. And so being able to, you know, switch that narrative within the work in the hospital to say, no, we're supposed to be advocates. We're supposed to find resources and help folks as best as possible before it ever gets to that point. And I just see that Black people, brown people, indigenous people aren't always given that option of like, let's explore this together.
For sure. Okay. And what challenges did you face when you were building up, you know, the Urban Health Group?
Well, there's still challenges being a small business around finding resources. In general, some of the benefits are that I have complete freedom and how I want to deliver services. So part of that was like unlearning some of the things I learned in the hospital around systems and silos, like it had to be one way, And I've been able to get really creative on how I provide resources and just how I display my information. So up until that time, it was like, where do you start? You know, like I have this idea. I have some knowledge. So putting the business part together has been part of, you know, the greatest challenge, finding resources. Like I have been a one woman show for 5 years. And it's not until this year that I'm finally getting building a team that can help me like not exhaust myself. You know, in the field of social work, like your work is never done. There would never be a day where you're like, I've done everything. And so in running a business, you know, it got to a point where like I wore myself down. So right now having a team to support me as we're doing this really important work for the community has been a challenge, but also an opportunity to say there must be other people out there who are interested in the same thing.
Sure. Right. For sure. And yeah, I feel like, you know, like you're in a space where like, I feel like that's like my kind of end game, not end game, but like next phase of my career is like, you know, therapy, but also like macro space, because I mean, just doing like the direct service day after day is like, ooh, that's a lot of right. stuff you got to carry. Right. So, but to be able to like step out of that a little bit, you know, and to step into a role where you're actually, you know, like you're trying to be a broker for, you know, for someone who needs services. Right. You know, that's for sure. Right.
And so, that's the thing is too, is like when it comes to health for Black, Indigenous people of color, like there's still a lot of stigma around mental health. So I'm able to kind of introduce it without pushing it. And saying, yeah, there's you know, help available, and also discussing other alternatives on how you can manage your emotional wellness. When someone is coping with trying to take care of their diabetes or heart failure or cancer or whatever they got going on, you know, there's an underlying depression. So a lot of times I've seen that like traditional medicine doesn't always talk about how difficult it is to manage it. So being able to be in a space where I can create a bridge around how to navigate both your health needs while addressing your mental health needs. And it's not always like therapy, but it's having someone who can listen, you know, just pause for a minute and just allow you to express, you know, what you've been struggling with.
For sure. Right. And that, I mean, and that's such a great point, because I remember, you know, my dad being a diabetic. And like I said, I mean, I was seven, so like I wasn't like privy to like all the information, but I really don't remember anyone saying like, you know, this is going to be different, you know, like, this is going to be different. This is going to be, you know, a whole switch, not from your diet, but poking yourself every day, multiple times a day, you know. Then like my, you know, I had a grandmother that lost a leg, you know, and so it's just like, you know, and I feel like. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, there's things that could have been maybe said to like protect, you know, their mental health, because, you know, like after she lost that leg, she probably was around for like 2 more years before she had like a heart attack and died. Right. So, and that could have been just the stress of, you know, of just having to live with, you know, one leg now. Right. And now. You,
right.
So, but not having like you said, that support to. Damn. Right. I just realized.
Because even with your family members, you know, grandma, my partner, his mom passed last year from complications of multiple myeloma, which is also common for Black people. Mm-hmm. But what it means to be in family where you don't have energy, or you're not feeling confident, or you're not trusting your body to go out publicly, but folks are like, what's going on with you, right? And it's like, come on, you know, I'm right. trying to cope with what I got going on. So it you know, it impacts our physical self, but also our emotional and spiritual and our social selves as well.
Right. For sure. For sure. Yeah, that's a great point. I love that. How does your role impact the betterment of the community?
I think it's new-ish, especially with COVID-19, with the health disparities really being highlighted and showing the need for the community, that folks are listening. You know, it's not a sexy or fun topic to talk about our health, and there's a lot of shame around it. So I feel like, visibly seeing folks who look like you helps like reduce the apprehension that you have about seeking supports. Having someone who understands the language, but also understands like the system side. So there's a lot of great volunteers and advocates who are not social workers who are doing social work. To me, it does the community sometimes a disservice by not having someone who understands the complexities. So I really see my role as being able to be like, I am the people, I've experienced it. I have direct experience with understanding how difficult it is, but also the clinical knowledge, the healthcare experience to help people navigate through these systems. And I get to do it creatively. And I keep saying that because the healthcare system, when it comes to people of color, has been one way, been pretty rigid and in the box. And a lot of it comes from a deficit perspective, which is Black folks don't like going to the doctors. Black folks don't like medications. They don't trust them, but they don't understand that we want trusting providers. We want people to listen to us. And I get to be able to do that through Urban Health Group.
For sure, for sure. Now you're down in Oakland, the Oakland area?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like what is, like in terms of like, you know, social work and some of the things you see, like what are like the common themes that you see, like when you're trying to like, you know, provide services? Is there like, you know, certain kind of prevalence and like symptoms or like, you know, conditions that you see, you know, the most?
Well, Oakland is one very, very diverse. It has a huge refugee population. It's, you know, every ethnicity you can think of, all the different languages. So it's diverse in the sense of people, but when it comes to services, it's not always that diverse. Now, there are a lot of local clinics, you know, being in an urban setting where, you know, we have a little bit more access to resources, but again, it's limited. And sometimes even with the nonprofits, they dissolve, like they're not always around. So my biggest thing is empowering people to know how to navigate systems, because the systems are not always reliable or they're not going to always be available. I still want you to be well. I still want you to know what to do. I still want you to feel empowered in the face of like what folks are experiencing with healthcare biases and racism and just all that other oppressive stuff that comes up when a person is seeking services.
Okay, for sure. Any kind of like information you can share that helps someone try to either get into the macro space out of grad school or undergrad, you know?
They don't teach you this, but just like I followed you on social media and I was like, oh, this man is doing something cool. And I reached out. Mm-hmm. We don't always, the network systems are not always available to us. So I encourage you to like, for the folks who are seeking to find people who you think are interesting and just let them know, hey, I like what you're doing. If you have questions, sometimes you don't, but I've made myself available to MSWs who like follow my social media because it's such a diverse industry. You can go in literally any avenue. Social workers are everywhere. We don't always know that, but sometimes it's just finding folks that you think are interesting and reaching out to them. A lot of my networks have came after grad school. Mm-hmm. Even after working in the hospital for a few years, you get comfortable with the nucleus of what's available, but I encourage you to look beyond, look out, find folks who are not even in, maybe even in the same city, like we're in different places.
Yeah.
And we're able to connect. That's the benefit of technology nowadays.
For sure. So, but I had another part to that question too.
Okay.
So say like, you know, there's a therapist that's burnt, they either can't do therapy anymore or they have to diminish their role in therapy like 40%. How would you help them go from, you know, using like their clinical knowledge for direct service to like broadening in their lens to a macro space?
Yeah, and part of that is like having the space and time to even consider that. At the time that I started Urban Health Group, I was burned out at the hospital. I was actually on medical leave. Mm-hmm. And it was in that time where I was able to decompress to allow like my true passion, my true interest to kind of float up. So if you are a therapist or someone in direct practice and you're feeling overwhelmed, a lot of times you're overworked, to take the time you need to take care of yourself, and you'll naturally start restructuring your life in a way that works for you. For me, I knew what I wanted to do, and I started this business working 40 hours. I was still working full time, and I was like, this ain't gonna work for me. So I had a phase out plan that looked like, well, let me look for a job that's 32 hours where I could work a little bit more. And then I got to a point where I was working 20 hours in the hospital and then the rest for myself. And now I'm at a point where I'm working full time. So, you know, some people don't have the space to do a full jump. That created a phase out plan because your body and your mind are telling you when you're done with a certain chapter. Mm. And to listen to that, what people of color tend to do is like, we just keep working. We keep working, and it's to our detriment, sometimes to our health and to our emotional wellness. And I'm saying, do what you need to do. If it's build community, somebody who you can like hash it out with. If not, you know, find your own therapist where you can kind of decompress with.
Right. Okay. I love that. The phase out plan. I've heard that. I've heard that before, but you put it like in a, like, you know, like I've heard of a phase out plan to like phase out of a one therapy job to be a full-time therapist on your own. But I'm thinking like, if I'm burnt out of being a therapist, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do it full-time anymore. I kind of want to do something else. So the way you put that is like, you know, the phase out plan, try to, you know, maybe keep, because, you know, being a therapist, especially if you have clientele, you can work about 20 hours in a week and still and still do okay, and then do have the rest for something else. So yeah.
But it's just checking in with yourself. Like, even still, when you make adjustments, sometimes you got to keep making adjustments. Like, I'm at a point with my therapy practice where I'm capped. I have some complex developmental trauma folks that I'm working with, and I want to be able to give my full self. So I have to see fewer clients so that I can, you know, take breaks in between. And what that looks like now is I'm doing groups or proposing groups, and that's fun to me. But you have that ability to make adjustments as you need, where sometimes you say, well, I'm tired of groups and I'll go back to doing more individual. But allowing yourself to be fluid, to be like water, and to make adjustments when you need to. And sometimes we're making more adjustments than you anticipated.
Sure, for sure. That's well put. I love that. So I asked that last four people I had on this podcast for this segment, I asked them the same question. I am the social work fairy, and I can get rid of any deficit that you wish. Uh-huh. What would it be?
That's kind of easy. I would get rid of health disparities. I want to eliminate them.
For sure.
That would be, if I had a magic wand, we can't one. Make. Well, I wish to eliminate health disparities.
Okay. Okay. You know, we'll go into a little detail of why.
When we think about what's fair, what's just, I know in life, hardships will come. I know that there's some good that exists in the bad. I'm just asking for equal opportunity and access to a healthier life. Right. And we know that when it comes to health disparities, it's not just my physical health. It's like my ability to work, where I can play, where I can eat. So it permeates like every system. When we think about health disparities, that means like grocery stores and underserved communities. It looks like universal healthcare. So I say, you know, eliminate health disparities, but it will permeate all of our different systems, fabric in society. And I think everyone would benefit from a healthier community.
Sure. Nice, nice. Love that. Well, I appreciate you for joining me, you know, and telling us about the Urban Health Group. How can we help support you?
Part of it is being in community and supporting each other. I have some courses, the Plan Well for Care course that's designed for Black Indigenous people of color to have safe spaces to explore their care options, but also make concrete plans. We know that folks are, there's a greater risk of our people being hospitalized, getting sicknesses, and I want to make sure that when we interface the system, we get the best care by knowing our care options. So for one, it could be joining in and taking the course, but part of it is letting folks know that we can talk about it now. There's people who care about our needs. And so having these difficult conversations within your families. And if you get to a point where you feel stuck, come look at Urban Health Group and we'll see how we can find a way to help you support connecting to your needs, getting your needs met.
Sure. Nice. Well, I appreciate you for joining me.
Thank you.
No problem. And thank you for sharing your journey. I've been in a kick lately of just trying to really figure out, you know, how far I'm going to do this therapy thing and what else I can do and really help anyone else who listens to this podcast and say, hey, you know, I was so gung-ho on the clinical side and, you know, and I do think it's worth it to get your LCSW, you know, even if you don't want to be a therapist in the long term, you know, so like that.
Right.
So I'm in the pursuit of getting that, but
there you go.
Yeah, you know, it's really so I can pivot out of full-time therapy.
Just give you more options, but at the same time, I think there's going to be a quest for creativity in how we address the social ills, the social injustices, right? I met a woman who used to be a social worker, and now she has a yarn shop that she teaches knitting to people with dementia or cerebral palsy. And there's different ways that we can share our gifts and care for people. You know, in a perfect world, social workers wouldn't exist. You know, people would just be kind to one another and look out for one another. So right. I think the next phase of social work is going to look a lot different than the traditional ways that we know social work to have looked.
For sure. I do think so. I mean, that's why I started this podcast.
There we go. Because there's so many avenues, and I hope folks stay encouraged. We see a lot more folks, you know, meme protesting, you know, they're saying something on social media, but there's ways that you can really get behind causes and address it to be the change, not just say something, but really be about it. And it takes a little time. If you care about, you know, prison reform, if you care about food deserts, if you care about health, if you care about housing and economics, there's a place for you in social work. And sometimes it shifts. And what I like about Urban Health Group is we're aware of the social systems and how it impacts people. So it's not just my health, it's my ability to access really good information. So
Right. Thank
you for having me and allow me to talk a little bit about what Urban Health Group is doing. But ultimately, I just want to keep folks encouraged on, you know, we hear all this stuff in the news, but there's a lot of wonderful people doing really important work. And it may look different than the way that we thought it would look.
For sure. Yes. Well, I appreciate you sharing space and I'll be in touch.
Yep. Well, take care. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Bye. All right. Bye.